We're pleased to be joined live again by phone this morning with the president and CEO for United Way of Roanoke Valley, Abby Hamilton, for an update on several issues. She joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me for at least the third time this calendar year. And Abby, we say good morning once again. How are you?
Good morning.
Good to talk with you, Abby. And before we delve into a few issues here, you took the top job at United almost a year ago after many years there in various positions. If you would, Abby, talk about the pivot you had to make in March when the pandemic hit from whatever had been on your agenda. Talk about that challenge to you and your staff professionally, if you will.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I don't think I prepared myself to be dealing with a pandemic when I started as CEO in January. And I think we had some wonderful plans because we're also preparing for United Way's 100-year anniversary in a few years. So I think we had some exciting work happening in terms of collaborations in the community and certainly strengthening partnerships with local businesses, schools, government. And when the pandemic hit, you know, while that is kind of unnerving and that's a lot of uncertainty, it also is a great opportunity to pivot and do something that really expresses what United Way is about, which is bringing people together and acting in unison to kind of address a common need that we have.
Morning, Abby. This is Gene. I didn't mean to throw an essay question at you right off the bat, but you know.
All right. That's the fun of it.
Right. Let's talk, you know, the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, Abby, you know, they're always a challenge. What about for United Way and your community partners this holiday season and for you know, all those partners, well, you know, and what's happened to the fundraising campaign for United Way, you know, without the traditional employee campaigns? I mean, did a lot of that get pushed back or what?
Yeah, well, you know, I think when we last talked, we talked about how none of us have gone through this before. This is really forcing all of us, not just the businesses, but nonprofits as well, to meet a greater demand and communicate with our supporters and in the community in a very different way. Like you said, you know, a lot of us have had to move into virtual fundraising efforts and engagement. We probably were not doing a whole lot of that before, and so the pandemic just hastened a lot of that. People are not normally either meeting anymore. A lot of them are working from home, or they don't do large-scale events anymore. And some are limiting on-site visitors. And so I think that's really like a universal challenge for all of us as nonprofits, not just United Way, of having to convert traditionally on-site, hands-on activities that are also in group settings to something that is virtual while making it still engaging for the public. I think about Fashions for Evergreens, you know, that is the big holiday tradition at the Hotel Roanoke. We've had to move that virtually this year, and that's certainly a different feel to it than actually being there on site.
So when you look at the end of the year, Abby, the intake, the amount that you normally would get from like employee campaigns, is that going to take a big hit?
Yeah, I think we're all seeing as nonprofits, you know, fundraising being more challenging these days. I think people, and rightfully so, you know, people are more cautious because they are also impacted by the economic stall that we're experiencing. People that would normally maybe give to charities are also busy maintaining their own businesses because they're struggling. Some people might be feeling secondary effects. So, for instance, even if they didn't lose a job, a family member might have, or they're experiencing extra expenses from childcare or healthcare or other things like PPE that they didn't factor into before. So it's certainly challenging. The money's coming in slower, and I think people are waiting to see what's going to happen. There's not really a more important time to give to charity and to support local community than now.
Mm-hmm. I'm Gene Moreno. We're talking with Abby Hamilton, the president and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley. Speaking of PPE, things like that, are you still having those regular teleconferences with community partners that began when COVID hit? And are there new concerns, Abby, about possible PPE shortages and other issues with this pandemic surge, you know, and also as hospitals are looking for more personal protective equipment as well?
Yeah, I think we still do meet. So we started meeting as a group of community partners. We started out with maybe over 100 of us meeting back in March when everything shut down. And we still continue to meet. We've change the frequency of that to monthly, and we also have a online community where we keep each other updated on information. I think my observation from our conversations is that the supply chain has somewhat stabilized in terms of accessing PPE and supplies. The question, I think, that is still there that hasn't been dealt with is, do people have the resources to purchase and store them in mass quantities? And our ability to be in compliance with, rules in terms of group settings. And then I think the other challenge is going to be removing the stigma of testing positive and assisting people that are testing positive to assist in contact tracing. I think we now have like a little shift of not just protecting ourselves in the community, but also making sure that we, if somebody does test positive, that we are assisting VDH with the contact tracing, because you're right, there are more cases now than ever, and it'll be hard for them to keep up with that load.
I'm talking with Abby Hamilton from United Way of Roanoke Valley. I'm wondering, Abby, are any of your community partners going to be involved at all in any way with dispensing the COVID vaccines? And will United Way be involved in any way in making sure the vaccines are distributed to those who need it?
Oh, yeah. So there are a lot of active conversations for, I believe, at the state level. They started talking about this in anticipation that this was coming back in the summer. And so now local leaders are engaged with VDH in various conversations. And I'm grateful that as I'm sitting in these conversations as well, you know, I'm hearing people ask really thoughtful questions. And I appreciate the fact that we have the time to think about it. So people are asking, you know, how do we make sure, exactly to your point, how do we make sure that people that are traditionally marginalized, that disproportionately impacted by COVID, African-American community, Latinos, the poor, things like that, that we are addressing those specific groups. And you're right. I'm like, how do we mobilize the entire community and the infrastructure that we have with community-based organizations to work with a statewide network and get the right information to the public about why it's important, and then making sure that they know where to get it and have the right information that addresses their concerns or fears or questions that they might have.
All righty, it's 8:51 at WFIR. We're joined this morning by the president and CEO for United Way of Roanoke Valley, Abby Hamilton. Abby, how can the community, United Way, and partners still work to make the Christmas holiday brighter for those that are struggling? Are there still ways to do that, Abby, less than 3 weeks to go before Christmas gets here?
Yeah, I certainly think when I think about the definition of who's struggling right now, I think we have a collective struggle as a community and really as an entire country. So because we're all impacted to a certain degree, some more than others, by the pandemic, I think about three things that we can do. One, and easiest, is to watch out for each other. Check on your neighbors, family members, friends, maybe a stranger that you see on the street that is not looking well. If you have the ability to extend help right then and there, do that. But you also are able and should be able to refer them to 211 if they are in need of any services in the community. Number two, I would also encourage all of us, as part of strengthening our community in the holidays, to support local and buy local when you're buying gifts and shopping. And number three, it wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say this, it is a great opportunity to support local charities, including United Way. People are doing really a lot of incredible work right now, and our nonprofit community needs to be strong and will be critical to the community in the future, too.
All right. We're talking with Abby Hamilton from United Way of Roanoke Valley. I'm Gene Moreno. Abby, let's talk about this ALICE COVID survey you're trying to get off the ground, looking at some of the data about how the impacts of the pandemic on the Roanoke Valley families of all demographics. And remind us who the ALICE families are first.
Yes. So ALICE is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. So typically what you would think about are people that are now working two or three jobs, but still can't make basic ends meet. They don't have a safety net. They don't have a savings account, so that when on a daily basis they have to make decisions on choosing food versus utilities, housing versus childcare, these different decisions that impact not just their family but the entire community.
So, I mean, these ALICE families, they're sort of in that middle strata. They make too much money for some services and They not enough money where they can do a lot of these things themselves. But in that Alice strata, are a lot of these people falling through the cracks? Are they being impacted? Maybe the types of jobs that they have, things like that, where they're being impacted perhaps more than some other people?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I think that COVID actually surfaced the fact that a lot of our essential workers, the folks that are in the grocery store, childcare workers, actually fall in the Alice categories. Maybe even, you know, the support staff over at the hospital. These are teachers. They're all falling in that category. They earn too much to actually qualify for a lot of other benefits that are public, but they don't earn enough to really support their local family. So I think it's really important for us to kind of get a good sense during this pandemic and going into community recovery efforts, you know, to understand to what extent our family's struggling and who's struggling and with what, right? What do they need to access? And this survey that we're working on regionally with in partnership with local government, schools, local funders, chambers, businesses, and really the listeners, here's a great opportunity for us to have a good understanding of what that looks like and how we can best help.
So in a nutshell, you actually want to survey the Alice families, correct?
This is actually a broad survey that includes not just Alice families, but every household in the Roanoke Valley, because that will be a great opportunity for comparison as well.
So what do you hope to do?
Anybody, any household can fill out the survey when it rolls out in 2021.
Okay. Will that be available on the United Way of Roanoke Valley website, or how will you get it to market?
Yes. So we're going to be talking about that and you know, promoting it, I would say, around January, and then rolling that out early in February. And certainly want to come back and talk about the Alice survey when the time comes.
Let's do it. You're almost ready for a radio show here. One more question about this. What do you hope to do with that data when you collect it? What do you hope the action items will come out of that?
Yeah, because I think an Alice survey like this, it gives us an idea of what families are struggling with in various aspects, right? Like housing, employment, food, whether or not it's childcare, healthcare, as it relates to COVID. And so when we get a sense of a pulse check of where families are on these different items, it gives us some critical information that will allow United Way and the partners, local funders, local government, schools, to make more informed decisions that are also going to be responsive to what families actually need in real time. So that I'm excited about the prospect of us coming off of going off of the same data points as a community, and then from there using that to take collective action.
All right, I'm Gene Moreno. We're talking with Abby Hamilton, United Way of Roanoke Valley. I've only got about a minute left, Abby, but I'm just wondering, is 2020, has it helped maybe sharpen the focus for United Way of Roanoke Valley and its community partners on where they can do their best work?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's always been the sweet spot for United Way, is to mobilize partners to bring the best thinkers and action takers in the community for such a time as this. And so our role as United Way is to bring people together, make that magic happen, stretch those dollars, and maximize the resources here in our community to help the most people.
Real quickly, where do you hope to be in the new year? Maybe at the end of the first quarter. Where would you like us all to be?
Oh, my gosh. I would hope that we're really solidly on the road towards recovery as an economy, and that we're trying to see things turn. And, of course, healthier, you know, less COVID cases and less deaths from that.
All right, Abby Hamilton, United Way of Roanoke Valley. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Abby, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.